This is Hash It Out with Jane
is a podcast that supports independent thought, personal responsibility, and social consciousness. Thanks for downloading another episode of Hash It Out with Jane. My name is Jane Hash, and today we're going to talk about osteogenesis imperfecta, because it is OI Awareness Day. To assist me in explaining what OI Awareness Day is, I have three awesome guests on the show today. So get comfortable and enjoy my chat with Mitchell Dunham, Dr. Kara Ayers, and Susan Brown. Mitchell Dunham, thank you for hashing it out with me today.
Hey, how are you doing, Jane?
Awesome. So you have OI as well?
Yes, I do.
What type do you have?
I have type 3.
And yes, do you walk? Do you use a power chair? Or?
No, actually, I use a power wheelchair. Actually, a scooter. I prefer the old, the old people three-wheeled scooters. I love them. I feel like I get a little protection with the front handlebar and with the power, I don't feel like I wear myself out trying to get anywhere.
I can see that. I've often wished I had like a cattle prod on the front of my chair to just kind of move people out of the way.
Exactly.
Because they never look down.
No, they don't.
They're always ready and willing to whack you in the head with their purse. Yes.
Well, I've dumped many purses.
I understand. So you are a graphic artist.
Yes, I've been doing graphic design since high school, actually. Me and one of my friends got bored and taught ourselves how to play with computers and make art.
Nice. Do you have any, like, specialty?
I'm really good with text-based art. I do a lot of logos for companies. I do really, a lot of really wild stuff. Most people don't do what I do with Photoshop. I take just about anything with Photoshop and try to push it to the extreme.
Nice.
I did a piece for The Art of Science last year where I took this image of a mole rat. It was a bone scan of a mole rat, and I blew it up and made it all psychedelic colored. And it's like a big giant 10-foot mole rat now, and it's actually hanging in my living room.
Nice. So you have your own company.
Yes, it's called Digital Simplicity Designs. Just do some light freelance work. If anybody's interested, please just Google search Digital Simplicity Designs, and you can find me. I'm everywhere on the internet.
Fantastic. So, you know, it's about to be OI Awareness Week.
It is. It is almost OI Awareness.
Are you aware of OI?
I think so.
Me too.
I think I'm aware. I think I figured that out pretty early.
Now, there is plenty of medical gruesome and, you know, good information out there about OI. People can just Google it, osteogenesis imperfecta. But today's not about that. I want to know about you. Like, are you married? Do you have kids? Do you have a cat? What's the scoop?
Well, actually, I've got a girlfriend that I live with. We've been together 3 years now, and two cats.
And
just got my own apartment, which we're in.
Nice. Was that difficult?
To be honest, it was a lot easier once I got a girlfriend. Having someone to rely on to help me that I can trust really gave me the courage to get out on my own. Before that, you know, I'd never lived on my own before. You know, I always lived with my parents, so it's great. I love having my own place. It's amazing.
So what about kids? Are the kids in your future?
I have no plan to have any kids, no. I don't know. I know what I went through. I know I have a 50% chance to pass it on. No matter what chance my girlfriend has to pass it, if she has a chance to pass it. She doesn't have OI, but she still could carry a gene that could pass it. So with a 50% chance, I can't risk putting a kid through that. It's not It's not fair to me. You know, if I could change my own past and not have OI, I would. Why would I force that on somebody else? All you're doing is guaranteeing a kid pain. I mean, I've been through a lot of pain. I've had 198 breaks. I've had 22 surgeries. I've died twice. Why would anyone knowingly put a child through this? But my parents didn't know. They, you know, neither of my parents have OI. In fact, I'm the only living person in my family with OI.
Ah, so we have another thing in common. We are both spontaneous mutations.
We are. There's actually, we believe my great-great-aunt had it as well, but she died when she was less than 3, so, and that was, you know, 30, 40 years ago. They had no history or anything on it, so we don't really know what she had, but we assume she had OI. But yeah, I'm the oddball of the family. So. I don't know. I was raised by all normal people,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's no different. You know, you live and learn. The only big difference I would see is I know some things already that you can't do with OI. You know, there's certain things you shouldn't push.
Like what? What's an example of something that you don't think?
You know, I mean. I stopped trying to walk when every time I stood up, I broke my legs. At a certain point, you do that so many times, you're like, all right, what's better, breaking my legs or not walking? I'd rather not walk.
Do you think that when a child is diagnosed with OI, that oftentimes they're pushed too hard to walk, like, that's too much of a focus?
I think that some kids are, definitely. I see a few online every now and then, and I see the parents pushing these kids to walk, and some of them, you can tell it in their face, and they're just not enjoying it. And I know I had some times where I was in therapy, and I couldn't take it, and I'd hate it. And I wish they wouldn't have pushed me. I mean, you know, eventually my parents were like, look, this isn't helping. We're making things worse. Why should we keep doing this? So, I don't know. I think some kids are pushed too hard. It's not the parents' fault. You know, they want what's best. They want normality for their kid. But, you know, normality is point of view and perspective. Normal for me is not normal for you. Normal for anyone is not normal for anyone else. So.
I think normal is something somebody made up. I don't think it exists.
I mean, normal is the average. If you can take everybody, get the average thing that happens, that's what's considered normal. Okay, I can understand that, the average. But, you know, everybody's unique. Everybody. Every person. Not just OI kids, not just everyone. Everyone has this uniqueness to them. And you have to deal with each situation in a unique way. So, I don't know. I can't push a kid that you can tell is in pain. Why keep pushing him?
Right. Because even though they try to even categorize those of us with OI, there's still diversity within those categories.
Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, there was only 4 categories.
Right, so I don't even know what I am now. There's 12?
I don't know, I keep seeing more and more. I've seen at least like 8 and 9.
I think they should just admit that osteogenesis imperfecta affects every body differently, and we really cannot be grouped together.
The only grouping together you can say is the brittle bones and, you know, mild things like the eye color. Mm-hmm. You know, that's fairly common through OI is the blue sclera. The barrel rib cage is fairly common for the most part, not always.
Right, not the type 1s and type 2s.
Type 1s and type 2s, you almost can't even tell they have OI at times. Especially the type 1s, I mean.
Justin. I really appreciate you helping to give a well-rounded perspective of the diversity of the human side of osteogenesis imperfecta.
Unfortunately, with medical issues in general, people tend to forget the human side of it. You see so much about just the issue or the problem, and you forget that there's a person dealing with this issue and problem. It's not just a medical condition.
Right, we're not a diagnosis. We still have bills to pay and groceries to buy and life to deal with.
Exactly. I think you really liked one of my pieces I did from when I graduated. It kind of mixes the medical with the real. It's a cross hybrid x-ray and photograph of myself. So you can see my full body head to toe with an x-ray overlaid it. So you can see both the bone structure and the skin.
Awesome. I'd love to display that on the website, or at least put a link to where you have it hosted.
Definitely. I'll send you a link to it for sure.
Awesome. So check out the Hash It Out with Jane blog to see the artwork done by Mitchell Dunham.
Thanks for having me, Jane.
Dr. Kara Ayers, thank you for hashing it out with me today.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm really excited about this.
The theme of this episode is OI awareness, osteogenesis imperfecta. So tell us, how are you personally affected by OI?
I have osteogenesis imperfecta. I have type 5 OI. In addition, my husband has OI too, so I'm also the wife of a person with OI. So it affects me basically. I'm short, I'm a little person, I'm around 4'3". As a child, I had around 100 fractures. We weren't big in our household about counting exactly, but that's an estimate. And then, you know, on an everyday basis, I'm a full-time wheelchair user, so I use my wheelchair for mobility. I can stand up and transfer a little bit, which is a huge help, just to independent living, but I can't walk any real distance for any purpose. I always say that I have, like, therapy-level walking, so I could use a walker and walk for therapy, but as an adult, that becomes so unrealistic when you couldn't, you know, I couldn't carry a purse. I'd walk the pace of a snail, so it's not going to happen. One of the unique parts of type 5 OI, which is one of the more recently discovered types of OI, is that I have arm bowing. So that sometimes creates a challenge too, in that my arms are a little bit shorter, especially my right one. And so sometimes fine motor things are more difficult to, it's funny because everything, you know, kind of changes with age. So I think one of the more difficult tasks for me right now is I have a 3.5-year-old daughter, and so fixing her hair is tricky because she's like a moving target, and it's probably one of the few tasks during my day that I have to be like, that I want to be more intricate in terms of, like, she's really big into Rapunzel, so she wants like a Rapunzel braid, and it's challenging, but we're working on it.
So what are some of the more frustrating challenges that you and your family face regularly because there's a lack of OI awareness?
I think specific to OI, people either don't know anything about it, or what little they do know, they make a lot of assumptions. So sometimes there's a fear in terms of, are we going to fracture, or, you know, kind of, are we seen as this like rolling liability around? So I think that part of the problem is either not knowing anything or knowing a little bit and assuming the rest. So, you know, some of the more frustrating challenges that we have still relate to access, in terms of access as a parent is different than access just as an individual. So I need to know even more about the environment, because so there have been times that I've gone to places where I knew that they didn't have an accessible restroom. I plan accordingly. I kind of know that, okay, I'm not going to be able to go to the restroom while I'm here. I may only stay, you know, a shorter amount of time, or may plan accordingly. But if you're going there with your, you know, preschool daughter, she's not okay with that. Accessibility as an individual with OI is a little bit different than the needs that I have right now as a mom with OI.
Do you feel that the way OI plays within your family dynamics contributed to your chosen career path? give us a description of what it is that you do.
Thanks. My education, which I guess is kind of the path that I first chose. So I have a PhD in clinical psychology, and I focus my research on psychological development of specifically kids and teens with OI, which there wasn't and still isn't very much research around that. So I really had to learn a lot through the psychological development of other kids with other different kinds, but comparable disabilities. So in that way, it definitely influenced that path. At the same time, so what I currently do is I'm the advocacy coordinator for our USED here. And a USED is a University Center for Excellence of Developmental Disabilities. And so it's ours is UC USED, University of Cincinnati USED. And so what I do is I work on a number of different disability issues, sometimes specific to OI. I'm working with the OI Foundation and the Youth Forum and a little bit on the Women's Forum. Occasionally I do get to kind of do direct OI work, but mostly we work on these greater, broader issues. I definitely think that it's influenced it, but I also feel like that this, you know, it's impossible to untangle what I would have wanted to do had I not had OI, because it's just always been a part. But I love my job now, and I'm really thankful because I kind of always did disability advocacy work on the side. So it was always, you know, I was full-time school, full-time job, and then at night I would do a lot of my advocacy work. And what I found is when I became a mom, that wasn't an option anymore, and I didn't want to lose my advocacy, so this was a perfect fit. And I still do work a little bit more directly with psychology, and then I'm a professor as well. So, and my OI definitely influences that. I teach psychology courses, but I really focus on fighting stigma. So we talk about, you know, not calling people schizophrenics and how the media portrays people with mental illness and what effect that has on their lives. And so I definitely think that my experience as a person with OI has influenced how passionately I try to incorporate that. If students come away with that message, I care about that much more than, you know, if they remember the criteria for bipolar disorder. Not that that's not important, but
right.
I think the other piece is more important to me.
So you're a mom, and now does your daughter have OI as well?
No, she does not. So since my husband has type 4 OI, and so she had a 25% chance that she would inherit his type of OI, 25% my type 5, and then a 25% chance that she would have been double dominant, meaning she would have inherited both. And that was really the only outcome that we were most fearful about, because there's really no literature around pregnancies like that surviving. Sometimes babies who are double dominant in other sectors of the little people community survive a few months after birth, but usually they don't leave the hospital because their respiratory system is so compromised. So that outcome was very frightening to us, but we had a lot of confidence, and we take a lot of pride in our OI identity. So we knew that if she had OI, which there was a, you know, a strong likelihood that she would, that we would be prepared to raise a child with OI. And so it was almost a flip side surprise, because it was a lesser chance that she would not have OI. And so it's been interesting raising an able-bodied child, in that I don't usually think of her in that way, but you know, there are different things. And but she has a unique perspective too, because her family has OI. So she, you know, faces questions. One of our more recent issues is with preschool drop-off. She moved up to a new class, and so her new classmates were new to them again. And so each day when we drop her off, we're just bombarded. And she is sometimes bothered by that, because, you know, it's interrupting her chance to hug mom or dad goodbye. And she's asked me, you know, why are they talking to you like that? Because sometimes even preschoolers kind of have a tone of even kind of disgust, or, you know, they're not just asking you like, oh, why are you in a wheelchair? Sometimes they're saying, why are you in that? And Hannah is already old enough. She's picking up on that and wondering why people think about it differently than she does. She doesn't see it in a negative way. So she, you know, she doesn't have OI, but her family does. And so she still definitely deals with OI in her own unique way.
In an online osteogenesis imperfecta group, a mother recently expressed that her child, who has OI, was refusing to wear the yellow Wishbone Day t-shirt Now, Wishbone Day is just another way that the OI community expresses their OI Awareness Day. The other members of the group encouraged this mom to make her child wear the yellow t-shirt anyway, even though he was very adamant that he did not want to. So as a mom, and from your professional perspective, do you think that forcing the child to participate in this way is the right way to handle the situation?
No, I definitely don't think it's appropriate to force anyone, you know, to wear a certain symbol that someone else decides of their identity. And maybe if we think about it in that way, it's a little bit more helpful in terms of, you know, I wouldn't want, especially if I'm assuming that this parent does not have OI, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So I can't imagine, you know, if even my husband or my dad was, you know, adamant that I wear this purple, you know, t-shirt because it's Women's Day. So I think, first of all, we need to look at it in perspective of, you know, we can't assign symbols to other people if they don't embrace them. So there's wonderful things about symbols. And we love the yellow in our house on Wishbone Day because, you know, the symbols can unite people and they can be a source of pride. But we shouldn't put symbols upon people that don't want them. And I think that holds true at any age. So, you know, I know within the OI community, snowflakes are very popular as a symbol. And so for me personally and in my family, I don't like the snowflake symbol. And so I wouldn't want anybody telling me that I need to wear a t-shirt with a snowflake on it. That's not something that I'm interested in doing. So I think kind of part one of my answer is, regardless of age, the answer would be no, we don't force symbols on other people that don't want them. But part two, I think, would be that it's important to realize that when we look at other models of different minority groups and the way that people kind of develop their identity and hopefully eventually their pride and acceptance in their minority identity, we know that people go through different phases. And it's really common for one of the earlier stages to be this adamant kind of protest against the group. So, and you see that, and I think a lot of adolescents with OI that maybe are resistant to coming to conference or meetings or, you know, kind of say things like, I don't want to hang out with those people. I'm not like those people. And so I also think that we have to realize that people go through different stages in their identity development, and it would be really ill-advised to push something on somebody that's just not there yet. I mean, ideally, we hope that that person would come to his own self-acceptance of OI, if not just for himself. But to force that on someone, I think, is inappropriate.
So what are some positive, healthy suggestions you have on how everybody could participate in Wishbone Day?
Oh, I think it's such a cool opportunity because it's international, it's worldwide, it crosses borders in terms of that we are this OI community. And so I think I'm just really excited about the growth that I've seen it had over the years and proud of our community for how kind of we focused on this positive this day. And I think that that's the best way to really promote it and to celebrate it is to focus on the positive. So think about it in terms of how a cultural celebration would be treated. So you wouldn't have instances of pity or kind of condescending practices. For me personally, I don't really get a lot from the idea of like beating OI or overcoming OI or fighting OI. To me, that's confusing because once you've accepted and you like parts of your OI or like your identity as a person with OI, I'm very confused as to why I would be like fighting and, you know, trying to overcome or beat OI. So I would suggest that for this day, that kind of perspective be avoided. Instead, let's focus on the community of people with OI and having pride in that. And as I said before, I personally really do love the idea of, you know, that we wear yellow and I really like the symbol of wishbone. I think for me, it's different because I'm not being called a wishbone. I see the wishbone as a symbol of OI and a symbol of our community. So to me, that feels different than being called a snowflake, which I don't really like. But I think it's a day to spread knowledge. But, you know, I go back and forth in terms of, so on that day, May 6th, when I think about like my family and other families, I think it's great when when families dedicate the day to an awareness for people without OI, in terms of, like, I've seen that families, you know, spend the whole day passing out flyers, maybe outside their grocery store, and that's fantastic. I also think, though, that I hope that communities carve out time to, for us to celebrate. So it's not always about just us trying to, you know, educate people as they leave a grocery store about what OI means. And that's really important, and I'm not undermining that, but I'm just saying that maybe this day is for a celebration of our community and for a chance to just have some fun and not always have to be in the educator role, which, you know, we're always in, whether it's when we're going to the grocery store or we're at the gas station. So I also hope that communities will make time for that and, you know, and just enjoy each other. We don't always have to be the educators.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anything that I didn't ask that you would like to add? Any points that we may have overlooked?
I don't think so. If I can put in a quick plug for our USED Facebook page.
Sure, go for it.
Okay, so it's USED, which is UCEDD, and we're on Facebook, and I manage that page, so I post some of the disability issues that we're working on. Some stuff is local to Cincinnati, but much of it is broader than that, and so there's a number of different ways, you know, that we connect to organizations that focus on OI and other disabilities. So, and I've really enjoyed chatting with you. So I look forward to Wishbone Day, and I hope you enjoy it. Happy Wishbone Day.
Happy Wishbone Day. Thanks a lot, Kara.
Yeah, thank you.
Susan Brown, thank you for hashing it out with me today.
Thank you for having me.
We are celebrating OI Awareness Day today. How does OI affect you and your family?
Seeing as though I have two children with it that are now 18 and 20, it's affected me a lot because I have broken many, many bones, and now so have they. So,
what type of OI do you and your children have?
We have type 1, the mild.
And did you inherit that from your parents?
Yes, I did. My father and his brother had it, and I think that's where it started.
Now, just looking at you, you wouldn't know that you have OI because, unlike some of the other types, there are noticeable telltale signs. Do you use power chair or crutches or?
Once in a while, I use a cane, but I have very bad feet, so it's a question of what the weather's like, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes arthritis will be, because of breaking my bones so many times, and my feet, and my knee, my leg, you know, I tore my patella tendon and broke my leg before that, so it's always weak after that.
Now, when you used to be employed, you worked in the medical field, right?
Yes, for an orthopedic surgeon.
So you were probably on your feet all the time.
Yeah, most of the time, yes. And I was also a hairdresser for 20 years before that.
Oh, my goodness, that's another physically demanding job.
Where I did most of the damage. Standing on my feet on concrete and all that. So
what are things that you do to relieve some of the discomfort? I mean, have you participated in any of these standard treatments? What do you do?
Physical therapy. Most of the time, it's immobilizing. Other than, I use a cane once in a while. I'll have to wear a walking boot. I have a permanent walking boot that stays in my closet next to my shoes.
Was it a difficult choice to decide to have kids?
No. It wasn't really a choice at the time.
That's funny. Yeah. See, it can happen to anybody.
Right. With my son, who's 18 now, I had to go see a genetic counselor and that. And, you know, just like I had a feeling they were going to say, you pay a bunch of money to have them tell you it's a 50-50 chance, you know.
Exactly.
So, and I got 100% kids that have it. And they're a challenge too. Even with OI, without it.
Nice. So what have they gone on to do? Have you advised them to choose a less physically demanding career path, or are they stubborn and set in their ways?
Well, my daughter is pretty good about, and she hasn't broken too many things. Before the age of five, she broke her tibia 3 times. My son, before the age of 5, 5 times. So at one point, they were both bookends on the couch at Christmas time, making a cute picture, you know. But it's to them, because they don't really look different, and which is a problem sometimes with our type of OI, is that they think that they're invincible and they can just do whatever, and they don't realize that down the road, these things are going to catch up with them, you know. It will, you know, if that, my son has broken more bones than I can shake a stick at. He's had more than me. At one point, he had 2 broken elbows. That needed surgery. So.
I think there's a lot of, I guess, misunderstanding in the OI community in that a lot of us who have the most severe types, like type 3, like I have, kind of assume that type 1 OI people have it easier, but you really just have a different set of issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes, you know, I wonder what it would be like to actually have type 3, you know, and because it's right there, and for us it's not. And it's very, it can get difficult with different legal things. Like, say somebody wants to get disability, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. A lot of people haven't even heard of it before.
Right, and not to mention the many children who have been taken away from their parents due to a lack of proper diagnosis.
Mine was never an issue because my father had it. My older brother has it as well. And I have one brother that doesn't have it. So when I was born, I think I fell down the stairs and had a green stick fracture in my leg. And as soon as they find out somebody has it, it's not a question anymore. But that was 45 years ago. So I was questioned when I first brought my son in, you know, how did this happen? And they give you they bring in the psychologist and all that to talk to in the hospital, and I'm like, I have a lie. They're like, oh, okay. You know. Now we know. So
well, that's good. You're fortunate in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the people that don't have it, I can imagine what they have to go through if they have a child that actually has it. I don't know what the statistics are to have a child with type 1 if you don't have it yourself. I never really looked at that.
So, does your family do anything to celebrate OI Awareness Day?
I didn't know about it until I got on the OI website, you know, for Facebook. I didn't know that there was one. I don't know how long it's been around, do you?
I don't. I think it's only been a few years, but it's growing rapidly.
I know. I like to, I'm going to make a mosaic tile of that little wishbone figure. I think that's cool.
Nice. Is there anything about OI, you know, those of us who have OI, that you just wish people would know or understand, or any misconceptions that you would like to clear up?
A lot of people, like my son, will tell somebody he has OI, and they think that it's a calcium deficiency. It drives me insane. And they think he's going to die. You know, it's like he's going to eat. I said, no, it's not calcium. It's collagen. So it affects everything, not just your bones, you know?
Exactly.
But sometimes the kids, they're mean to each other. You know how that goes. in school, that was when I was a kid, you know, that was unheard of, you know. They just thought they called me something like delicate girl or something like that. I was really No, you better not do that because you might break something.
Which made you want to do it, and then you'd break something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I used to ski. That's how I broke my leg.
Oh, goodness. There has to be a happy medium. I mean, I can't see telling people with OI, don't do that.
Mm-mm. No, because it's kind of weird. Especially if you're a kid, too, you're going to want to do it anyway. And even as an adult, I still think, oh, yeah, I can do that. No problem. And I suffer for days because of it. My husband tells me that a lot.
Well, Susan, I really appreciate you talking to me about life and OI and what awareness means to you, and I hope you and your family have a fantastic Wishbone Day.
And you as well.
For more information about topics and people discussed in this episode, visit my blog at hashitoutwithjamie.blogspot.com. If you have any comments, questions, or you just want to tell me how amazing I am, send me an email at hashitoutwithjamie@gmail.com.